Model our relationship building on is that of Jesus. So Jesus says, come, follow me, and I'll make you the fishermen of men, or fishers of men. Jesus was intentional. Intentional in his actions, intentional in the love that he showed. He asked his disciples to follow him. That is a practical request. But it's through that following we start seeing what Jesus' intentions of friendship was. He would walk life with the disciples. That means walking when they're struggling, walking when they're strong, guiding them in the building up and the equipping that will soon to come in the ministry. He wanted relationship then, and he wants relationship today. Friendship can come in many forms and provide us with many emotional, physical, and spiritual supports. We all can relate to making friends. I was sat in the playground the other day watching Ezra. He's never met this little girl before, but he runs up, follow me, let's play. But is that not what Jesus asked of us today? Follow me, I want to play. C.S. Lewis put it this way: what draws people to be friends is that they see the same truth. Friendship can also come through that to us today. So we're in the church. Why are we here? To celebrate Jesus. To celebrate the glory that is found in him. So what's this got to do with friendship? Well, the truth is, up until Jesus being at the cross, he was showing what true friendship is. Even at the cross, the last words were something about forgive them. Forgive them. So Jesus says in Matthew 16:24, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself up and take his cross. Why have you mentioned that in correspondence to relationship? Well, that means everything. Jesus has equipped us through his Holy Spirit to image him. The trouble is, relationship is hard. Brokenness is hard. Offense is hard. Why did I mention that scripture? Because everything Jesus stands for is setting aside self-interest, being willing to give your all, being willing to die for what is true. So in John 15:9, it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love if you keep my commands, and you'll remain in my love. Just as I kept my Father's commands and remain in his love, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you. Our friendships and relationships are about the joy of Jesus. And may that joy be completed in you. Our friendships are there to enjoy. My command is, love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That is to say, you matter more than what I need. So I want you to remember that concept of the love. But then I want to draw ourselves to, at times, friendship will cost. In Acts 15:36-41, there was a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. So sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we've preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers. So even in this relationship between Paul and Barnabas, they parted. There was a breakage in their opinions. And I think we can all relate to the fact that we have disagreements. However, how we deal with the disagreements and differences that we have will determine whether we move in the spiritual and the physical for God, or whether we move in the self. It is essential for us to look at how we deal with differences and disagreements, because one will bring godly fruit and one will bring division. To restore something that has become broken means to simply put it back to how it used to be. Simply, God wants us to live in His freedom, His hope, and His fruitfulness. God was reconciling the world to Himself through Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. You know, not putting their trespasses to them, not committing what should be due to them, but God gave His Son to restore the friendship. And as born again believers today, if God has given us and reconciled us, actually, should we not be pushing for discovery of who Jesus is? It's in us, but it's a revealing through His Holy Spirit. God no longer counts our sin against us. So, God has used people throughout history through friendships and relationships to partake and undertake His will and destiny and purpose for His people. One lesson that we must understand today is, again, as I said, how you deal with your friendships will determine how you physically, spiritually, and emotionally move forward. Matthew 5:23-24 says, "Before offering a gift to God, one first should reconcile with another brother or sister who has something against him." How we contain our friendships and oversee them will drive how we build ourselves up, how we build those around us up, and how the local church is supported in unity. So, can I have a picture of the next slide, please? So, what comes to mind when you want to restore something? This is a question I will have to put out, Janet. Can you do some running for me quickly, please?
Just like
coffee. Yes, of course. No, take the microphone. So, what comes to mind when you see these photos? All input would be amazing. So, what comes to mind when you see these photos? And I'll get Janet to come around with a microphone. Okay. Have we got anyone who wants to say what they see when these? Yes. Love it. Who else? What do you see when you see these photos?
Restoration.
Slipping motorbikes down and rebuilding them.
Yes.
I'd love to restore an old golden flash motorbike for those who are motorbike aficionados. They survived one in the 60s. Go back a couple of years. So, yeah, that's my ambition, what I actually get on it. I mean, I'm not sure Ruth would approve, but then again, you know, sometimes what women are like, but yeah. just to kick one over and hear that throaty roar as it starts, that'd be great.
Let's finish with Isabel.
Impressive.
So, some of the things when looking at this photo, or these photos, can we have the next one as well?
Okay.
So, we have objects that were used for, you know, preparing, sort of hunting. We've got the house, that is where you live, a door into a gateway. But the interesting part with this is these were objects that had become unmaintained, had become broken. However, they all have a purpose and use. Some served a purpose for the time, but won't be used again. Others will be used again. Some of these photos have become weak and brittle. Some of these restorations would have taken time, a process, a cost. But is that not the same for our relationships and friendships in building it up? It takes time, it takes a cost, and it takes, that cost is an investment. The one thing the devil would want you to believe is that your friendships and relationships cannot be restored. Because actually, through those relationships, people can see Jesus. But if we choose not to go down the path of restoration in our friendships, well, people will not see the magnitude and the future Jesus and God have or has for us. So the very interesting part about restoration, full stop, is it takes knowledge and help. So today, we don't stand here just with ourselves. We stand here together as a unity of followers. But we have the key ingredient as a born-again believer. And that is the Spirit of Jesus living in us. And if Jesus is about victory and building one another up, we have the answer there. So God's purpose for friendship and relationship, God created relationship and friendships because of, it's not good for us to walk and be alone. At the beginning of time, God said it was not good for us to be alone. So he gave us relationship with him and with one another. Friendship and relationships will allow us to serve one another. God's design for friendship is that we will serve one another up by lifting each other up. If we do not walk in restoration, God's purpose, fruitfulness, cannot be seen. Friendship allows the image of Jesus and his character to come through us. Jesus said, someone who loves unconditionally. Oh no, Jesus is the person who loves unconditionally, who is loyal, who shows his mercy. By all this, people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. You'll know them by their fruit. By having a relationship with God and one another can allow the promises and the purposes of our Heavenly Father to be fulfilled. The result of a good friendship will bring life and growth. However, if we're not careful, the broken relationships will bring unfruitfulness. As in relationships, sometimes things can get stretched, can get broken. It says in Proverbs 18:19, a brother's wrong is more unyielding than a fortified city. Disputes like the barred gates of the citadel. When friendships break, the peace that God has intended you to have will be shattered into many pieces. We can feel judged. We can feel unforgiven. We can feel lack of trust. We can feel the limitations to our life. We can feel isolated. We've all gone through that as humans. However, I declare today that God can and will bring restoration. He has given his son already, but we can be restored and renewed daily. I think one of the encouragements in Psalms 34 is the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saved and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The church is a very complex complex device that we have ordinary people coming together. So there will be differences. But God wants those differences to reap His fruit. If we're not careful, the local church can become fragmented. If we're not careful, I believe God does fruitfully bring people together here. Very interesting when looking at relationship and friendships. Because sometimes we know what needs to be restored, and sometimes we don't. For instance, if something has happened that I'm unaware of, and I'm in a friendship, and suddenly that person cuts me off, doesn't want to spend time with me, or starts insulting me or reviling me, this is a hard place to be. And the first place you have to go, if this is happening, is, Lord, what do you want of me? Where is this friendship supposed to go? Why? The Bible is built up of people's experiences of being in relationship, friendship. That has been the story of the restoration through history. But some friendships come to a natural end. Some because people might move away. But the one warning today is, if you have a friendship and you know it needs to be rekindled, forgiveness needs to happen, building up needs to happen, my encouragement today is the day that restoration can happen. The Bible gives the foundations of what it should mean for God's plan to be seen in our friendships. But the same as these restorations, there is a cost that is associated to building friendship. God's plan for mankind is to see mankind fully restored. The process of two things that were previously alienated coming together in peace. Because it's very interesting when we look at the story of Barnabas and Paul. We don't actually see how they were restored together. But in 2 Timothy 4:11, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful for the ministry. So in that story, previously, the human reaction, Paul had the human reaction. John Mark had let us down before, so let's not use him. But Barnabas actually said, you know what, give him a chance. Who was right there? I don't know. But one thing I do know is they were joined together for the common practice, or the joining of the believers. The one encouragement about the encounter between Barnabas and Paul is they still chose to walk in spreading the gospel. So they were still walking in the line. The one thing we have to make sure is, if we have a broken relationship, friendship, that we don't walk away and not pursue the gospel. Or our self-interest is so important that we allow a relationship to die. You know what, I want to say to some people today, our past mistakes don't have to define our future. Our mess-ups don't have to define our friendships. It is never too late to reconnect with someone that you've experienced brokenness with. It is never too late to forgive as Jesus forgave. In 1 Peter 4:8, says, love covers a multitude of sins. Ephesians says, let us all Let our bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, forgiven one another as Christ forgave you. It is essential in our interactions with one another that forgiveness is there. Romans 12:18 said, even when conflicts arise, we should strive for peace. Seek to resolve them in a spirit of love and understanding. It is okay to disagree or disagree with one another. It is okay to say, hey, Swapnil, I'm wrong. Or Swapnil, I disagree with you. Thursday night this week was amazing, as usual, with the men coming together, because it's an opportunity for us to challenge one another, disagree with one another. But the one underlining thing is, I believe it is done in a spirit of love and understanding. It's equipping. You know, forgiveness is an act of God's care. Forgiveness is the one way that God shows he cares for us. If we use the example of Jesus on the cross again, Jesus died for us all. We need to be image bearers of Jesus in our friendships. Forgiveness is a way to be like Christ. Believers are called to let go. Many times we have to let go. We still see the scars, but we don't have to pick at them. Because through God's restoration, like that axe, that's not brand new. It still has its nicks. It still has its imperfections. But it's still usable. God's still taking it from one point to the other. It still has a purpose. It still has a use. The one thing the devil wants us to know in our in our relationships is, what's the point of that friendship? What's the point of being connected? What's the point of going to church? It's never going to be changed. Well, actually, God wants victory in those areas. God wants us to be like this house, this axe, this door. We're perfected through Jesus, but that doesn't make us the finished article. So, the driving in relationship when dealing with brokenness is the fact that, one, we can sharpen one another, but actually it can be a very vulnerable process. And it takes us to be able to work either with God or one another in a way that's quite, you know, challenging, quite intimate, really. We have to allow one another to sharpen ourselves, restoration is so much about that God has given us an identity. We've gone from one to the other. And then we have to completely be changed and developed for his purposes. I think identity through God and through what he's done to us has to be one of the driving factors in how we contain ourselves. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in every way in him who is the head, in Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow. When each part is working properly. If we know that we have brokenness towards a brother or sister, I plead with you today, and you make it right the best you can. And I think that vulnerability is hard. And you're going to say to me, what happens if I make it right, or I try to make it right, and the person denies me, says, I don't want to know. Jesus says, you know what, pray for them. I would take someone back. What happens if it doesn't work? But you still have a choice to say, I will love you. You still have a choice to be an image of Jesus. Fixing a broken relationship is probably one of the hardest topics I've ever read up on and, you know, try to digest, because of it is a practical thing, and we all go through different things. We all, in the instance, you know, how many of us can relate to being like Paul? I don't want anything to do with you anymore because you let me down before. How many of us are like Barnabas? We give opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. All I would say when it comes to God and restoring relationships is let him be at the center, because of it's going to take time, it's going to take his Holy Spirit, it's going to take a cost. And that goes back down to picking your cross up. Picking your cross up and following Jesus. And through that, I believe growth. I believe relationships will be restored. I believe actually we'll be more united as a church. That's all I have for you today. Andy, would you be able to play some music, please? I think I'd like to end in worshiping, in praying for one another, in just seeking God. Because actually, that's why we're here today. For God to use us, for God's healing to be at the centre, for his peace. When there's brokenness, there's no peace. I pray for a supernatural peace on all of us today. Actually, we can feel free again. And let's stand. Let's take this time. And so God bless you all.